This is a Sound Rebel podcast.
Discover more of our shows at soundrebel.co.uk.
Double Game Week 19 was the week of surprises, as the highest scorers came in various guises. John Stones with a whopping 27 points. Antonio was at the top of West Ham's exploits. Mateus Pereira cruised in with 24. Ilkay Gundogan with a plentiful score. Our captain choices just didn't deliver. De Bruyne off on 58 brought a shiver down the spine of those using the TC chip. Mo Salah blanked twice. Should we be jumping ship? Five Leicester players make up the kings of the week. Halfway through the season, still plenty of time to tweak. Welcome to Triple Captain.
Very good. Very good. Also, Kings of the Week. Does anybody ever review that team? That's like the most random feature in Premier League, in FPL, honestly. So weird. Anyway, double game week done. I quite enjoyed it, even though Everton didn't really feature in it.
Yeah, it was quite enjoyable, wasn't it? Yeah, I had a pretty good time watching the football. We are, of course, Triple Captain. We're at Triple Captain 3 on socials. I am Luke Jurdy, and I'm joined, as ever, by my co-host Rich Wolfenden and producer Ben. How are you doing, Rich?
Yes, very, very good. I went up to Everton yesterday from London, drove in the snow. It was honestly the most perilous drive thing I've ever done in my life. The M25, weirdly, was just covered in snow. I've never seen snow in London all the years I've lived here, and it was so, so thick. But got to Everton, had a great show with Ronnie Goodless. We won 3-0 and then I drove straight back. So, a little bit sleepy this morning, and I've just double-checked my game score, and it's another red arrow. So I think now I've had, 8 red arrows out of the last 10 weeks, but it's so weird because I just haven't slid. But anyway, I've only gone down 5,000 places this game week, which is quite bizarre. But yeah, it's a good game week. How about you, Ben? You're only with us briefly today.
Sorry, I am. I've got to head off.
He's got his priorities in the wrong order.
And I've got actual work to do, and I'm really sorry. A mixed bag of emotions for me this week, because I played my triple captain chip on Mo Salah, who, as Luke, you said in your poem, blanked horribly. Couldn't believe it. Obviously scored 2 against Man United in the FA Cup, though. So that was I hate wasting that chip. I love that chip. It's the name of this bloody podcast, and it's just wasted. And I wasted it on Mo Salah last year as well. I can't remember what game it was, but completely wasted it on him last year. But I broke the 100 points mark, 114 points this week from the double game week. Because of heroes like John Stones coming in with a huge 27 points. Couldn't believe it. Absolutely couldn't believe it. Martinez with a 9, Soufal with 12. I've also got Ruben Dias with an 18. Yeah, Fernandez, vice-captain, 8 points. Actually, it was the premiums that didn't really deliver this week. It was the... I mean, Luke, I know you want to talk about this, but how did you get on? Because you had a stunningly good week, didn't you?
Yeah, similar to you. I played Bench Boost. So, I mean, the fact that you didn't play Bench Boost and got 114 points is fantastic.
Thank you.
What a score from 11 players. That is brilliant. I played Bench Boost and I finished with 125 minus 8. So 117, which I'm really, really happy with. Game week rank of 130,000. Can't complain at that at all. The 150 nice. Dreamland wasn't quite reached, but I think it's my best score ever in FPL in a single game week.
That's so funny though, because off the back of your absolutely woeful week the week before on the free hit.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then this double game week just completely makes up for it.
Yeah, I brought it back to the basics. And obviously, my old team, thankfully, was returned to me. And the punts, I made some safer picks. And I took a -8, which is the first time I've done that in a long time as well, because I had players like McCarthy and Adams in there that only had the single fixture and I didn't fancy them to do much against Leicester. So I wanted to get rid of them. I also had Dallas I had Dallas from Leeds and Bamford. So I thought I'll keep Bamford for that fixture against Brighton. But I thought I need a City defender, and Dallas to Stones was the easy option. So obviously, I think Dallas got 1 and Stones got 26. So that paid all the hits back straight away from John Stones. Sorry, John Stones got 27, so plus 26, minus 4, plus 22 from that hit. Sam Johnston was the other one that I brought in for McCarthy, which obviously didn't work out. He only got 2, but that's worked out as a minus 3, I think, because McCarthy got 1. So that's still plus 19. And then I also brought in Ollie Watkins for Shea Adams, and Ollie Watkins with his goal.
Go on, Ollie Watkins.
I was really pleased that he got that goal.
He should have had more. I don't know if you watched the game. Obviously, I'm a Villa fan.
I did, and he should have had more.
He should have had more. I tell you what, though, he just looks good, doesn't he? Matty Cash as well. I bought him in a few weeks. I bought in Ollie and Matty Cash a few weeks ago. They are, I mean, I'm so glad Ollie got that goal. Matty Cash is so close to being one of the best assisters in the entire Premier League.
Also, he so has close. The best name.
Yeah. Cash. He has a good name.
Mr. Cash. Yeah, I wonder if he's related to Johnny.
Ah, I'm mad at Cash.
It was such an odd one in a way, wasn't it? Because, you know, the bulk of the points came from defenders. The midfield, apart from Antonio, attacking-wise, didn't really do much. Midfielders didn't really do much either. Mm. So, yeah, I got the 27 from Stones, which is just unbelievable. I couldn't believe when he banged in that second goal, I just could not believe it. I've never seen anything like it.
That was only his like third Premier League goal or something, wasn't it?
I think it was his first ever goal in the Prem for City.
Yeah, it was for City, yeah. He scored one for us against Man United about 5 years ago, and that was his first one.
And suddenly he looks like such a threat.
The week you brought him in, like, I couldn't believe it.
And I'd imagine a lot of people were in the same boat bringing him in this week as well, because I thought, I've got to get a City defender in there, and he was the only one available. So in a way, it's kind of worked out, you know, quite lucky in a way, because I'd have probably chosen Diaz over him if I had the money. So yeah, Soufal, yeah, 12. James Justin, 14 points. I mean, best signing of my whole team. I've had him in since day one, and he just continues to produce points. Leicester look fantastic. Ollie Watkins with 8, Fernandez with 8. I captain Salah. I mean, if your captain goes right, I've got 125 points. If that captaincy works out, I'd be pushing on to 150 now. So that's a real disappointment. Jack Grealish with 8. Chris Wood has to go very, very soon. Still not returned anything for me. Bamford as well, I'm looking to move out. He isn't returning as well as he was returning.
I chose Bamford over Antonio, by the way, a couple of weeks ago. I was like, oh, yeah. Antonio's still a bit dodgy in terms of his fitness.
But then he was injured then, so...
I know.
But yeah, so overall really happy. Chilwell and Robertson, 7 and 8 respectively. Not great. I'm maybe looking to move Robertson out now, which we'll discuss finally. And game week, I'm back up to 42,000 overall.
Very well done. Very well done. You've retraced your steps, and I think that mad weekend of you throwing everything out the rule from the Luke Jurdy FPL handbook.
Exactly.
It's well and truly behind you now.
Well and truly behind me.
So welcome back to normality, mate.
Yeah, back to normality. I'm writing out my watch lists again. I'm looking at points and all of that stuff. So I'm back to normal, yeah. What about you, Rich?
Good. So I thought I had a good week, but again, I got a red arrow. So the average obviously was going to be a lot higher this week with it being a double game week. So the average was 74. I got 92. Although I did get a -4 for my transfers just so I could get Watkins and Madison in, which again paid off. But yeah, 92 points, and I've got a red arrow, albeit just 5,000 places. So I've gone to 699K now. So... again, another red arrow, but I'm not properly sliding. It's so confusing. I don't know whether I just need to do a wild card and just get a template made or whatever. Because it's just irritating me. I think I've had a good game week and then I slide. Anyway, I'll go through my team. So Mendy, God, he continues to play in goal. But he got a clean sheet in the win over Fulham, was it, I think? So he got me a nice big 8 points. Robertson got me an 8 points, although, like you, Luke, I think Robertson's time could well and truly be coming to an end now, because Liverpool at the moment, it's just bizarre what's happened to them, isn't it? Justin, nice big 14. Dallas got me a 2. Grealish with an assist. He's back in amongst the goals. Salah captained him, 8 points. Fernandez, 8 points. Rafinha, 2 points. James Maddison, who I wanted to bring in a few weeks ago, finally got him in, and it absolutely paid off massively. 17 points from him. Watkins got his goal, and Harry Kane, as always, getting involved in one way or another with a nice big 9. So yeah, 92 points overall. And Everton are through in the FA Cup, so I'm quite happy with that double game week, to be honest.
We've got some breaking news, lads. Literally, while you were talking us through your team then, Rich, Chelsea have confirmed they've parted ways with Frank Lampard. How's that going to affect things?
Chelsea.
Yeah, it's on their Twitter. Yeah, literally while we were just talking.
Wow.
Statement just, on Frank Lampard.
I hate Chelsea. Why do they do this? He's like one of the most legendary players, if not the most legendary Chelsea player. And they've binned him off after a year and a half?
I mean...
In charge, something like
you
that?
You can't be where you are in the league, though, can you? I mean, they do look bad. I mean, and actually, it's a little bit... Yeah, it's a little bit worrying for, like... the bigger teams, because if they get a manager in that can do a good job, they've got some really good players, haven't they? So, but I know what you mean. Like, people do need time. Look what's happened with Ole.
With Solskjaer, yeah. Solskjaer is the perfect example.
Yeah, and now we're top of the league. So, and beating Liverpool in the FA Cup, you know. So it's...
Well, that's it.
Yeah, it's an odd one, isn't it?
But it's the same with like Manchester City had an awful start, but now they're within touching distance of first place in the Premier League. Like, you know, give managers time. Like, they'll turn it around. All right, he's probably arguably just been let down by his silence. Like, Havertz, what's happened to him? Werner, he missed the penalty again for Chelsea. So he's arguably just been let down by his silence, and it's nothing on his back. I mean, Abraham scored a hat-trick last night.
Yeah.
In Chelsea's win. So we'll just go back to playing the team that he was playing in the first season he was in charge.
Do you want to know what Abramovich has got to say on the whole thing?
Go for it.
This was a very difficult decision for the club, not least because I have an excellent personal relationship with Frank. Well, you did. And I have the utmost respect for him. He is a man of great integrity and has the highest of work ethics. However, under current circumstances, we believe it's best to change managers. On behalf of everyone at the club, the board, and personally, I'd like to thank Frank for his work as head coach and wish him every success in the future. He's an important icon of this great club and his status here remains undiminished. He will always be warmly welcomed back at Stamford Bridge if he wants to... Go back.
No,
that is.
No one. No. Why would any manager go to Chelsea now? They sacked Jose Mourinho, who is their most famous manager. They've now sacked one of their most legendary players. They're Carlo Ancelotti as well, who's my absolute hero, and he sacked him as well. Like, why would you want to go and manage at Chelsea? You know, you're going to be there for 5 minutes. It's just. It's an awful place to go, isn't it?
It's going to be interesting FPL-wise, isn't it? Do we think they're going to... I suppose we can't really comment until we know who's going to take over.
Well, it's meant to be Tuchel, isn't it? He's the rumoured manager, the PSG boss.
Did he do much at PSG? Has he got him to Champions League final, didn't he?
Yeah, Champions League final, lost to Bayern. I mean, it's not really a competitive league, is it? The French... league
doesn't exactly fill me with excitement.
No, I mean look who he had at PSG. He had Mbappe, had Neymar, like he had like two absolute world beaters, and now he's got Mason Mount. Like, you know, he's not at the same standard, is he?
That will be interesting, because whoever takes over, it's going to really prove whether Mason Mount was Frank Lampard's pet or not, won't it? If he continues to play every game, then obviously they're seeing something in training that we're perhaps not seeing on the pitch, because he's good, but he's certainly not at the level that Chelsea need right now, is he? In terms of his goals and assists and his output. I don't really know what he's there for. Is he a number 10? Is he an attacking midfielder? Is he a defensive midfielder? You know, it's not clear to me exactly why he plays 90 minutes every week. He's not like a Jordan Henderson type player either, is he? So I don't really know. That's going to be interesting. It does make me want to keep Chilwell, though, because what tends to happen with these teams is they get a bit of a revival, don't they, when a new manager comes in.
The new manager bounce.
Interesting. I wouldn't be bringing any Chelsea players in right now, but if you have got them, I'd maybe hold on to them.
Even Edouard Mendy.
I mean, I don't like making goalkeeper transfers, but I'd hold him for now, mate. Why not? Hold him. Hold him for now.
Yeah, why not? 5.1 million just sat there. Anyway, whatever.
So we need to get you back up the rankings, Rich. We need to. Ben is slowly but surely, his revival is starting. So
yeah, two right ears. There's a few mini leagues. I've had a few little jumps this week, and it's always like, oh, hang on a sec. If I just play this calmly, you can definitely bring it back. Like, I jumped up 600,000 places this week.
Yeah, that's my rank. Changed by 50%. There's a cool feature. I mean, you can work it out, but there's a cool feature on Live FPL now where it tells you what your rank change percentage was. So I went up by 50%. So if you did the same, Rich, you could go from 700,000 to 350,000 to 175,000, you know, and suddenly you're there or thereabouts again. So we've got everything that's happened so far, we've got that all again. We're only halfway through. We've got another 19 game weeks. So let's get those arrows back to green.
I've got to go, boys, I'm afraid.
All the best.
I'm sorry. But it's lovely. I can't wait to actually listen to the episode because I've got two free transfers to make this
week.
If I want to make them. So the WhatsApp group will be pinging later. Catch you in a bit. Bye, boys.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Oh, man. Ben's gone off to do his Men Lose Weight podcast or something like that. Something obviously much more important than FPL.
Much more important than FPL, exactly. So Rich, should we just start off briefly talking about the bizarre heroes of the game week and if they're the new kings of FPL or whether we should be bringing them in?
Yeah, I'm going to do that. Hang on, let me get onto the kings of FPL list. Where are we? Let's get onto that. So the kings of FPL this game week, just looking at the defence, if anyone's got this defence, is absolutely brilliant. So in goal, Kasper Schmeichel. He's a good goalkeeper, but I think he's quite expensive, so I don't think that many people own him. Then everybody's first choice defender in FPL, Matt Target. He's in there. A nice big 18 points for him. James Justin, as a lot of people do have. And then the two Manchester City defenders, Diaz and Stones. Which, 14, 18, 18 and 27 between them, which is pretty good. And you've got two of them, didn't you say, Justin and Stones?
Yeah, I've got Justin and Stones. Yeah, as I say, had Justin since the start and he just continues to bring points in. And it doesn't look like Pereira's going to take his place anytime soon. I mean, I won't hold my breath because, of course, Pereira is a brilliant player and Leicester will want to get him back in the team. But I don't think you can move Justin out right now, can you? He's playing really, really well.
He's gone up. I don't know what he was at the start of the season, maybe 4.4?
He was 4.5 at the start.
And now he's 5. He's gone up so much in value. Like, I was raving about him last season, wasn't I? And he didn't even get a kick. And then this season, I didn't even mention him and I've just left him out of my team until just before Christmas. So I was late on the old Justin train. Midfielders are... Okay, there was three Leicester players in there because Leicester were absolutely brilliant, weren't they? Harvey Barnes, Youri Tielemans, James Maddison, 15, 15, 17 for them. And these two, like if you've had these in your team throughout the season, like what have you been thinking?
You've probably not got a good rank if you have.
Yeah, Gundogan of Man City, who's just seemingly taken control of Manchester City's midfield. Yeah, 18 points he got. And he scored an absolute worldie, didn't he? And... did he score a penalty as well? Am I making that up?
Yes. Yeah.
And like, I've already made my transfers this game week because I think his price is going to go up. So I brought him in because I was right on the brink of, if he went up 0.1, I wouldn't have been able to afford him. So I brought him in for Rafinha. And it just seems like a simple decision, really. And considering the form Man City are in, the form he's in. And I feel like this season, the reason why I've got a lot more red arrows than I did last season is I was too slow in making the move across these players who were just about to come into great form. Arguably, I've done that again with Gundogan already, but he doesn't seem to be slowing down at the moment. He's got to be, surely, the guy who's going to be playing every game for Manchester City. I know we say that all the time about Man City, but with De Bruyne being out for at least a month, Gundogan is surely going to be the guy who gets on the starting 11, in the starting 11 every game week, because he has over the past 8 weeks or so.
Yeah, so, which brings us on quite nicely to one of the talking points that we spoke about is what to do with De Bruyne and also which players, if any, are going to step up at City to provide that attacking impetus that De Bruyne so often provides for them. And Gundogan, yeah, he's firmly on my watch list as well. I think he could be the perfect fifth midfielder if you want to play five in midfield. And, you know, you could bench him as well if you wanted to. But at the moment, he does look really good, doesn't he? I mean, I don't know if it's just because... what I like, you know, I like to look at past form as well, and he's got no previous FPL kind of form. He doesn't really return. But then again, you look at his minutes, and he hasn't consistently played ever really since being at City.
Lots of injuries.
So he keeps starting games now with De Bruyne in the team, and without De Bruyne, he's more than likely going to start every game. And also, you haven't got that kind of... that horror if he doesn't start because he's so cheap. If a De Bruyne or a Sterling or a Salah doesn't start, as obviously Salah didn't start against Burnley, bizarrely, you get that horror kind of, oh no, I've spent 12 million on this player and he hasn't started. Whereas Gundogan, of course, he's not going to get the returns of Salah, Bruno, KDB. But in terms of a fifth midfielder, he's a great option right now, isn't he?
Absolutely.
Without De Bruyne as well, you'd kind of think he's going to cement his place.
Well, that's it. What I like about him is obviously he's the set-piece guy for Manchester City now, which is good. So stick him on free kicks, stick him on penalties. And what I do like about him is he's kind of like an old school. He's almost like, in a way, or what he has been like over the last few weeks anyway, he's been a bit kind of on topic, a bit Frank Lampard-ish in the way that he gets to the edge of the penalty area and just has a pop from the edge of the box. And I quite like that about him. So, like you say, he's definitely worth taking a punt on. And I think for me, moving him over from Rafinha, like, you definitely want a player who's in and about the goals for a team at the top of the Premier League rather than a team who's in and around the mid-table. So it's a simple transfer for me, really.
Yeah, I think I'll wait and just watch the next City game and see if the De Bruyne not being there, see how that affects him and if he's still getting in those positions. I mean, ideally what you want when someone's on your watch list, you want them to look really good but not get the points. So you kind of want him in those areas, having the shots, looking good, but not getting the points. And then it's like, right, okay, I'm going to bring him in because I think he's going to score.
But they've got West Brom this weekend.
Yeah, good fixture. Yeah, I'm certainly not against bringing him in, mate. Yeah, I think you've done the right thing there. I think that's a good move. What about other City players? Do you think anyone else is going to step up without De Bruyne? Let's talk attacking first.
Yes. So, I mean, I don't know how many times we've mentioned him on this podcast, and he's probably the most spoken about FPL asset on Twitter, I'd say. But Phil Foden, he gets talked about all the time. And I think he came to the rescue, didn't he, in the FA Cup against Cheltenham. And he just doesn't seem, I don't know what it is, it's something about Guardiola. He just doesn't seem to give him as much responsibility as I think he'd like. But maybe now, finally, I think I'm saying this for the 100th time this season, he'll get a starting berth, because who else is he going to play in that midfield role?
Well, the thing is, I think he's treated it a little bit like Greenwood's treated at United at the moment. They get minutes, but they will get rested as well. And it's just easing them into that Premier League action, I think. But I must admit, yeah, he's certainly developed more than Mason Greenwood has this season. But I think that's maybe down to other factors, you know, the media stuff and all that circus that surrounded them both. But, you know, that's another topic entirely. But I think he'd be a great option if you knew he was going to start. I'm not going to take the risk. Again, if he was Gundogan's price, yeah, take the risk. But he's just that little bit too pricey when you've got other players like Madison and Barnes coming to the fore now that are much more assured of their places. I don't think I can risk Phil Foden. I mean, they've got, let's go through it. They've got Torres, they've got Sterling, they've got Jesus, who's back to fitness, they've got Mahrez, they've got Bernardo Silva, Gundogan, Rodri, Fernandinho. That's eight midfield players fitting into six midfield spots.
Yeah.
Are they, is you know, I know Jesus isn't a midfield spot, but, you know, he's part of that front three, isn't he? So chances are there's two players going to be benched each week.
Yeah, I mean, if you think of it in terms of, like, what was De Bruyne for Manchester City, he was easily the creative force in that midfield. Like, Rodri would be, like, the defensive-dutied fella, like the old Fernandinho sort of role. So I can't really see him becoming, you know, the man with the weight on his shoulders of making something happen. So it's got to be Gundogan or Foden. Presumably it'll be Jesus, Sterling, Silva as, like, that front three. And then the three behind it would be Foden, Gundogan and Rodri, presumably. I think Torres maybe is a little bit too inexperienced maybe to get regular minutes.
Yeah, I mean, he normally plays Foden as part of the front three, doesn't he?
Yeah.
And I'd keep a close eye on Bernardo Silva now. He got his goal against Villa. And in the past, he has been a good option. He goes in fits and starts, but if you get him at the right time, he's a great option. So I'd keep an eye on him. He's somebody that could definitely step up in that creative De Bruyne type role to provide the assists. So keep an eye on him.
It's going to be a difficult game, you know, for Manchester City against West Brom. I know West Brom have been pretty poor so far, but, you know, Big Sam, I think his first game, wasn't it? It was at Anfield. And or if it wasn't his first game, it was one of his earlier games. And, you know, they got a draw against Liverpool, so there's no reason why they couldn't get a draw against Manchester City, especially when they're missing De Bruyne. And, you know, I'm not saying load your team with West Brom defenders, but, you know, it could be a difficult game for Pep and co, for sure.
And should we all be doubling up now, at least, on City defenders?
If you can, I definitely would, because they look so, so in form. I mean, it's The centre-backs are pretty much nailed on. I'd go for one of the centre-backs because Cancelo's been in and out of the team, and he's been left-back, right-back. I think he's just been kind of like pushed all over the place. Zinchenko start to come into the team as well, and he's hardly played all season. So, I mean, he could be another option. What's he? 5.5? Could go for Zinchenko if you fancy rolling the dice, but Stones and Diaz, they're just safe choices at the moment, aren't they? You could even go with Edison if you really wanted to. He's only a little bit more, if you really, really wanted to. But I don't think many people do.
Yeah, I think Diaz is definitely the most nailed option of that City defence. I mean, Pep spoke recently.
Even after superhero John Stones' 2-0 haul.
Even after that. I mean, Pep spoke recently, didn't he, in an interview saying that we need Laporte, we've got Garcia back, we can't always play with Stones and Diaz. So I think there will be some rotation. But if you look at their cup game against Cheltenham, Stones and Diaz were both rested, so that does suggest that they're going to play at the weekend, and they're certainly first choice right now. And I think I've already gone against something I said earlier in the season. I said I probably would never have a centre back in. I much prefer full backs for the assist potential. Yeah. But got a team like City, it's so difficult to score against them right now, and they've almost built up this because of the run they've been on. They've almost built up this reputation like that it is going to be so difficult to score. So teams turn up thinking we're probably not going to score here. All credit to Villa. They gave them quite a few scares, didn't they? But still couldn't convert. And I think I'm going to go for a Stones and Diaz double up now. I'm pretty set.
That's tasty.
I'm pretty set on getting rid of, this will probably bring us on nicely to Liverpool as well now, but I'm pretty set on getting rid of Andy Robertson and bringing in Diaz because when you've got that clean sheet potential every week, and also there is a bit of attacking threat there. Diaz likes a bonus point. With John Stones, there's obviously a little bit of attacking threat there now as well. You know, I think it's a no-brainer, isn't it? I mean, really, really, we should all be thinking about a triple up on City defence. But like you say, Cancelo's not nailed. And I think if you've got Stones and Diaz, you know that one of the two is probably going
to
play.
Yeah, definitely. Just before we move on to Robertson, let's talk about the rest of the kings of game week 19.
Sorry, yeah, go for it.
This guy, I had him in my team at the start of the season. I didn't. I had the other winger, Diangana, that was it. And he was good for like one game week. And I think Pereira, all of a sudden, has just turned it on. 24 points he got for West Brom. Are you not considering him? He's, you know, similar price as Gundogan.
He's on the watch list for sure.
Is he?
He's on my watch list. Yeah, definitely. Anybody that scores 24 points, and he took his third goal particularly well. But obviously, two of those goals were penalties, which he's not going to have every week. I think it was West Brom's first penalty of the season as well. So they're obviously not, you know, they don't win penalties like United and Leicester do, for instance. But I'm going to keep an eye on him. I think it would be a bit silly to just bring him in straight away when there's other good options out there. But he does look good again. And if West Brom start scoring goals, it's going to come from him, isn't it?
Yeah. They're still going to struggle, aren't they? I mean, is it two wins they've had now all season?
It's unlikely I'm going to bring him in, let's be honest. But
no, fair enough. But what about Antonio? He's the final one. Number 11 of our kings of game week 19. I can't believe we're just going through the FPL's official best team. 201 points, by the way, this team scored. 201. Imagine having this team.
Wow. With 11 players as well. That is huge.
Crazy.
Yeah, Antonio is absolutely top of the list of players that I want to bring in. I could bring him in this week for a hit. I haven't got the right money to go from one of my strikers directly to I could go Bamford straight to Antonio, but that would mean leaving Chris Wood in there. I want to keep Watkins, but Chris Wood has to go, really. Burnley are just toothless, and he's not gonna return anywhere near enough points that I need him to.
You say that, but they've been playing quite well, Burnley. You know, beat Liverpool. They beat Fulham 3-0 in the FA Cup.
But they just don't. They're not scoring enough goals, are they? I just worry that it's going to be really. You should be looking at Burnley defenders and maybe even the return of Nick Pope, despite his price. He always gets their bonus, doesn't he? Because they hardly score any goals. And yeah, Chris Wood was a bit of a failure for me, to be honest.
The Chris Wood experiment.
The Chris Wood experiment has not paid off. I mean, at least he kept getting 2 points. He doesn't often get booked. And also, there's another reason why I can't bring in Antonio just yet. I've already got 3 West Ham players, unfortunately, because I've got Fabianski in goal with Soufal and Souček. Antonio coming back actually, I think, diminishes Suchek's output because he's not getting forward as much because now they're aiming for Antonio rather than him in the box. But Antonio, he's the best option at that price right now, isn't he?
Yeah, but I mean, Watkins is a similar kind of price to him, and I really like Watkins, but over the last, I think that was his first goal in nine, maybe something like that. And, you know, Antonio's not been playing because he's injured, but when he is fit, he's already proved this season that he's the man for the goals for West Ham. So, yeah, I think you've got to get him because West Ham having an absolutely brilliant season so far. And if you can afford him, definitely get him in. I mean, I'd ideally make the move from Adams to him, but I just haven't got the money in the team as of yet. But what we'll talk about in a little bit, if we get rid of Robertson, that frees up quite a lot of fundage for attacking players.
Yeah, it does. Should we quickly talk about Leicester options then, just to continue with our Kings of the Game Week chat?
Okay.
So you've got Maddison. I know me and Ben kind of squashed that idea a few weeks back, but I must say you've got it spot on. That's a perfect example of bringing in a player right before they hit form. What I liked about Maddison is that recently they did a little feature on him in Sky Sports, and he said that him and Rodgers and somebody else from the Leicester team, part of the backroom staff, have gone through clips and have really worked on improving his goal and assist output, getting in, making those runs into the box. Right. And it seems to be working. And I love it when a player comes out and actually says they've been working on stuff. Mm. It really gives you the confidence to put them in the team, doesn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I was saying this yesterday to one of the lads in work, but there's not many players like Maddison in the Premier League. Because he obviously plays like the number 10 role, doesn't he? And obviously being in the number 10 role is quite difficult because you've always got players around you. But he's the only player who, when he gets the ball into his feet from, say, Tielemans, he just does a complete 180 and just goes towards the goal. I love that about him. He's just always looking to play it forward. Like, you've got so many number 10s. I mean, Sigurdsson is a great footballer, but he winds me up properly because you play the ball into his feet and he just plays it straight back to the midfield. Whereas Maddison just spins on it and tries to spray it out wide, tries to slide it through for Vardy, or even has a pop from miles out, and he's scored plenty of goals from outside the box over the past few years. And it's just his creativity. I think I said it on last week's podcast, or maybe the one before, but nobody since he's came to the Premier League has made more assists other than Kevin De Bruyne. So he's such a creative force to have. But again, there's a number of Leicester City midfielders who you could have in your team if you're really looking to load up with foxes.
Yeah, I'd probably choose Harvey Barnes over Maddison.
A bit less, isn't he, in terms of price?
He's a little bit cheaper and tends to have get more chances, more goal scoring chances, doesn't he? And he's come to the fore in recent seasons. Maddison's probably the more nailed out of the two, but Barnes certainly seems to be starting every game now. I know he had a period earlier in the season where he didn't play as much, but oh yeah, saying that, he started the last seven games, so he's pretty nailed on to start, and he's playing really well. I guess you haven't got the high ceiling of Maddison perhaps with Barnes, I think, because Madison's got that more of an assist potential as well, and is now coming forward as a bit more of a goal scorer. I'd have to compare the two to have a look at their stats, I think, before deciding on a definite option. But I'm certainly thinking about bringing one of them in. It would mean either downgrading one of my premium midfielders or getting rid of Jack Grealish. So it's a tricky decision, particularly as Villa look good. But yeah, I mean, you can't really go wrong with Leicester at the moment. They're playing really well. They've got good fixtures, and they're looking to win the league.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, the thing for Leicester at the moment is Vardy's just had, I think, his ankle surgery, so he's going to be out for at least a few more weeks.
Oh, I didn't know that. Right.
Yeah. So where do the goals come from Leicester? And I mean, Kelechi Iheanacho, I don't think he's favoured at all by Rodgers, and I'd never even consider him for my FPL team. I don't even think Rodgers would. But, you know, they've got options, so surely their goals are going to come from midfield, and, you know, it could be Barnes, it could be Maddison, so you've got to get Leicester players in for the next couple of weeks at least.
Would you bring in James Justin now that he's got that threat of Pereira taking his place?
Yeah, it's a difficult one. I think Pereira started in the FA Cup game against Brentford, and he just looked like he was back to his absolute best. Like, he doesn't seem like he's been out for as long as he has. I don't know, it's a risk. I wouldn't bring him in just because there's too much of a question mark over his head. But if you've got him, you know, absolutely keep hold of him, because he just seems to just be clocking up the points as the season goes on.
Hi, we're Sound Rebel, and we produce this podcast.
We make loads of entertainment shows like this one, but we also make informative and educational podcasts for businesses. We can help with the whole production process, from idea development through to podcast distribution to all the major podcast apps like Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Google Podcasts.
Email hello@soundrebel.co.uk now, and we'll get back to you as soon as we can.
Right, back to the episode.
Should we talk about Liverpool then?
Yes, go on. Man United managed to beat them, didn't they? In a bit of a ding-dong.
Oh, it was a brilliant game. Absolutely brilliant. And to be fair to Liverpool, it could have gone either way at times. It was a real topsy-turvy game. There were spells where Liverpool looked better. There were spells where United looked more of a threat. It was just a great FA Cup game. And it was the scoreline and the scorers that we all wanted from the first game.
Yeah.
Salah got two, Bruno got a goal, Rashford got a goal and an assist. you know, that would have been perfect for all us Salah captainers, wouldn't it? That first game in the Prem, but it wasn't to be. And it was a terrible 0-0. But what's encouraging, I think, about that Liverpool performance is that attacking wise they look good again, and Salah was on it. So I think if they'd have had another really drab performance and hadn't scored, I'd be really worried about keeping Salah in my team. But I think because he scored those two goals, I think I've got to keep him now. What do you think?
Yeah, I was going to say, if I was Liverpool, I'd be definitely concerned that Manchester United played as well as they did without Fernandes for most of the game as well, because obviously I think the last time Ollie dropped Fernandes, I can't remember who it was against, but Manchester United were losing and he brought Fernandes on and they ended up winning. And everyone was like,
I think it was West Ham.
Was it West Ham? Yeah. And everyone was like, genius management from Solskjaer. I was like, what? Bring on your best player. That's not the best management in the world. But anyway, I don't know whether it's good news for Manchester United, whether United were that good without Fernandes, or whether it's bad news for Liverpool that they were that poor. Well, they were only as good as they were when Fernandes wasn't on the field, if you know what I mean. So, yeah, I wouldn't be bringing in Salah. I wouldn't be bringing in any Liverpool assets. But for defensive reasons, I think that's why I'm considering getting rid of Robertson, just because he's so much money. What is he, 7.6? Something like that? 7.2. So I think it's about time, really. I mean, we've only had really one big haul from him as well this season, haven't we?
Yeah, I think there's maybe been two double-digit returns.
To be fair to him.
To be fair to him, like, he's still up there with the top scorers defensively, but you do have to have that clean sheet option to fall back on. If he's not getting his attacking returns, you need to be sure that they've got a really good chance of a clean sheet. And at the moment, they just don't look like they're going to keep clean sheets, particularly yesterday. I mean, that Reece Williams was... I mean, I knew. I said before the game, actually, when I saw Rashford on the left and Reece Williams at the back and Cavani up front, you've got Rashford, Cavani and Greenwood running at you. If you're new to that level of football, you're going to struggle. And he really, really struggled.
Yeah.
And when they move Henderson back into defence, they're fairly solid, but that ruins their attacking output in a way, because he tends to be in and amongst things. I know he didn't play yesterday, and they did look better going forward, but that was with Williams and Fabinho at centre back. So, and they've also got quite tricky fixtures. They've got Spurs next, then they've got a good one here and there, but then they've also got City. Are they going to keep clean sheets in that time? Probably not. Are City going to keep clean sheets in that time? Yes. So therefore, it does look like an easy move to go from Robertson to Diaz for me. And you save 1.2 million, don't you, to then upgrade your team elsewhere. So that is my thinking. I know I've been team Robertson for all season and not thought about getting rid of him. But after seeing that performance against Burnley and then seeing the performance against United defensively, I'm not too sure.
Would you not bring in any of the cheaper Liverpool defensive options just to have one of those players in there in case they do get a clean sheet, like Matip's back to fitness now? Or maybe you could even start Williams in defence as well if you really wanted to, because I don't think they're too much. I think maybe Matip's 5.5 or something like that.
I don't think so, because they're not really a team. Like, you'd rather just have a player like James Justin in there, wouldn't you? Because then he's got just as much chance of a clean sheet as Liverpool do right now. I think West Ham have got just as much chance of a clean sheet as Liverpool do right now. So no, I wouldn't bring in a cheaper one. The reason that you have Robertson in there is for that attacking output. And no doubt he will get double digit scores again this season. But at the moment, I think double City defence is a bit of a no brainer, isn't it? And if that means getting rid of Robertson, I think I've got Chilwell. So Chilwell's another option. I could get rid of him and keep Robertson. But I think with this new manager situation at Chelsea, that could spark them into life, couldn't it?
And they have got Wolves at home, and Wolves have looked pretty poor going forward this season. So, you know, you could be looking at your clean sheet bonus from Chilwell for sure. Maybe even Mendy will get in on the point. Who knows? Maybe. Fingers crossed.
So, yeah, just quickly, I guess, I'm keeping Salah. Are you thinking of getting rid, or are you going to keep him?
I think if you get rid of him, you do it at your own peril, because you just know that Salah's just going to... Like last night or the other night, he can just pop up with two goals, even if Liverpool aren't playing that well. So, you know, the best players in football tend to finish high up in FPL, don't they? Attacking-wise, anyway. So he's not going anywhere from my team. As of yet, I think he'll find form, and Liverpool will find form eventually at some point this season. For the sake of my FPL team, I hope it's soon. But for the sake of the Premier League, I hope they don't find form anytime soon. Because I'm quite enjoying Liverpool sliding down place by place every weekend at the moment.
Yeah, it's quite crazy, the change in form, isn't it? But yeah, I completely agree with you. The class is permanent, isn't it? And I think, especially as De Bruyne is out injured, the easy switch for me would be De Bruyne in for Salah. But De Bruyne is out injured, so I just don't see the point in getting rid of him. I think it would be just... Nah. Too much of a risk. So yeah, we're both keeping Salah. So just quickly then, before we go, moves for this week. What are you planning on doing, and who are you captaining? Yeah.
So I've already made my transfer. I did the simple Gundogan in, Rafinha out. Rafinha's been a good servant, but he's always just been a little bit too pricey for my liking. Just a little bit. If he was like 0.3 or 0.4 less, then he'd stay in there a lot longer. But I think Gundogan is going to be starting the next few games for Manchester City. He's been in good goal scoring form. They've got West Brom. Like, I think it's a simple transfer to make. And I think captain wise, it's probably going to be on Fernandes, just because Manchester United have got Sheffield United at home, who have been absolutely woeful all season. So I think it's a simple, straightforward decision, really, Fernandes.
Yeah, and just quickly, we've both also added Paul Pogba to our watch list, haven't we, Rich?
He
could go on a bit of a good run of form, and he looks great. He got man of the match again last night. Not sure if he deserved man of the match, but he was brilliant again. And had a few chances.
Yeah, well, he's become like he's always in theory been a box-to-box player, but he made a brilliant sliding tackle on the edge of the box, I think, before the Greenwood goal. He is just an attacking threat once more, isn't he? Rather than just spinning around the centre circle, he's getting box-to-box and doing it all over the place. It's almost like he's justifying the figures they paid for him all those years ago.
Yeah, he is. He certainly is at the moment. And long may that continue. Just really, really happy to be a United fan at the moment, especially after that FA Cup game. It was a joy to watch the attacking threat, and a joy to see, even when going 3-2 up, we were trying for that fourth goal and Cavani hit the post. Could have been 4-2. Yeah. It was brilliant. But anyway, my moves this week, I'm considering a few different ones. I've only got one free transfer. I may just roll it, but I'm probably going to make a move. Either Robertson to Diaz, maybe Chilwell to Diaz, maybe Bamford to Antonio. Or I could take a -4 and go Robertson to Diaz, Chris Wood to Antonio.
-12 across two game weeks. That's very un-Jurdy-ish.
It is un-Jurdy-ish, so it probably won't happen. But also I'm the same, captain on Bruno Fernandes at home to Sheffield United. Yeah, no brainer.
Sweet. So when's the deadline? I think it's Tuesday, is it? Yeah, Tuesday evening.
Yeah, 4:30 tomorrow. Yeah. So make your moves quickly and. Yeah, we've got another one.
Yeah, it's busy this. I can see why Ben's prioritising other things. A lot more relaxing. Okay, so at TripleCaptain3 on Twitter and Instagram, any questions, get them across. We will do our best to answer them. If not on Twitter, we might as well just do it on the podcast. All right, any more for any more? Are we done?
I think we're done. Good luck, everybody, for Game Week 20.
Discover more shows on the Sound Rebel Network.
Like Give Me Some Good News with Nathan Caton.
Hello and welcome to Give Me Some Good News, the podcast that brings a bit of positivity and optimism to your life while the mainstream media is full of doom and gloom.
He's stand-up comedian Nathan Caton and I'm radio presenter Rich Wolfenden, and every week we ask a comedian to come on the podcast and give us some good news, whether it's something that they've spotted that's made them smile or a bit of good news from their own lives.
So far we've had some amazing comedians on the podcast like Jason Manford, Russell Cain, Joe Caulfield, Dane Baptiste, Joe Lycett, Richard Herring, Jade Adams and Ed Gamble. And we've got loads more great guests lined up, which in itself is good news because it looks like we might be in this mess for a while longer yet.
So if you've had enough of bad news every time you turn on the TV, then give our podcast a go. We release a brand new episode every Monday morning.
Search for Give Me Some Good News now, hit subscribe and forget about the doom and gloom for 20 minutes. And don't forget, although it might not always feel like it, there's still some good news out there.
Give Me Some Good News with Nathan Caton. Listen now on your chosen podcast app.